sometime about just doing a nice Mother's Day message about moms in the Bible and to encourage you. But the Bible says to gather together to edify one another. And I want to edify and encourage you today with this lesson. But it's a hard lesson. I'm going to tell you, it's a hard one. I'm sure all of you realize this, but our children are under attack, spiritually and mentally. Satan is trying to turn them away from authority, parents, God. And there's so much misinformation out there towards our kids. And so moms, I want to encourage you today by giving you some ammunition in this war. The Bible says that we are soldiers for Christ, that we're to put on the whole armor of God to stand against the wiles of the devil. So I want you to see in Jeremiah 18 that if you remember the last couple of weeks, Jeremiah's been really trying to encourage Judah to turn to God. Remember, God said, all you got to do is just keep the Sabbath. If you keep the Sabbath, that would be great. And then last week we talked about the potter and the clay. Just let God mold us the way he wants to mold us. Well, I want you to look at their response. Their response was verse 12 of chapter 18. They said, this is hopeless, so we will walk according to our own plans, and we will everyone obey the dictates of our evil heart. We're just going to follow our own heart and go by our own plans. We don't need you, God. We don't want you, God. So let me ask you this question. It's very important. Is Jeremiah's message to Judah, there is destruction coming, turn to God before it's too late, is that a message of love or hate? It's a message of love. If you see a child running into the middle of the street and there's a car coming, and you warn that child, and then someone says to you, hey, leave the kids alone, let them do what they want, who's the one that cares for the child? And so their response to Jeremiah is in verse 18, and here we go. Are we ready? Then they said, come, let us devise plans against Jeremiah. So not only are they, we're going to do whatever we want, God, we don't need you, we're going to go by the dictates of our own evil heart, we're going to follow our heart. Are you with me on that one? We just read in Jeremiah 17 that the heart is deceitful and wicked. We've seen a world that follows their heart, and where does it lead to? It leads to trouble, doesn't it? So then, once the world rejects God and says, I'm going to do whatever I want, their next step is to attack the messengers of God, including mothers. When I became a Christian, it was so offensive to my mother, who blamed God for the death of a couple of her children. She didn't talk to me for a decade. I received a box from my mother with every card she ever got from me. And when later in the years, when we went to visit my mother when she was getting dementia, we went to bring her to our house to take care of her. I walked into the house that she lived in. I hadn't been there for a long time. And all the family pictures had my picture cut out. There was holes where my pictures were. Because that's how Satan is wily and trickster. So he says, we're going to devise plans against Jeremiah. Verse 18, for the law shall not punish from the priest, nor the council of the wise, nor the word of the prophet. In other words, we want you, Jeremiah, to shut up, because we're only going to listen to people who say what we want them to say. And we don't need your preaching of this stuff. We just don't want it. So I want you to look at the plan at the end of verse 18. Come, let us attack him with the tongue. I'm going to read that again. Come, let us attack him with the tongue. And let us not give heed to any of his words. So they had a plan against God's messenger. And the plan against God's messenger was twofold. Step one was what? We're going to attack him with our tongue. We're going to call him narrow-minded, homophobic. We're going to call him hate speech. We're going to lay on every single endeavor shared this morning that they just devised a whole bunch of accusations against these pastors in Nicaragua that weren't true. So they attacked them with the tongue. Step one. Trust me. Here's the thing about their plan. Whose plan is it really? Satan's plan. Guess what? Satan's plan never changes. It's still the same. And so when you try to teach your children the truth and you train up your child in the way you should go, the world's going to tell you not to do it. Oh, it's they're going to be picked on, it's going to be narrow-minded, they're not going to be able to be socially acceptable, and they're going to be attacked on social media. And the second phase of this plan is not give heed to any of his words. So one, we're going to attack you verbally. And two, we're not going to let anybody hear you and listen to you. We are going to not listen to a thing you say. If I had a policeman come to your house and the policeman said, "Don't steal," you would say, "Thank you, officer." But if I stood in front of a group of people and said, "God says thou shalt not steal," they would say what? "Oh, get the Bible out of here. We don't want to hear God." Shouldn't we not steal? Shouldn't we not murder? Shouldn't we not commit adultery? Shouldn't we be kind to our neighbor? I mean, what part of this Bible is bad? And yet the world wants nothing to do with it. So here's what we're going to do today. We're going to walk through a lot of verses. And these verses lead you to the knowledge that nothing has changed. And we have to be aware and prepared for this. First thing is Satan's strategy has not changed. Ephesians 6:10 says this. And if you got your handouts, I'm just going to walk through. There's a page and a half of verses. We're going to walk through them. And I'm going to try not to comment on many of them because I just want you to see what God has to say about this. We'll also have them up on the screen if you want to look there. But point number one is simply this. Satan's strategy of verbally attacking God's messengers and shutting us up has never changed. Ephesians 6:10 says, "Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places." So God says to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word wiles means deception. I'm not a big theological person, but I do know the word wiles because I used to watch The Roadrunner. So I know about Wile E. Coyote. And what Satan does is he takes a big brick wall and paints a road on it and tries to get our kids to go through that brick wall. The wiles and tricks of the devil. So how do we do? We put on, we understand that other human beings are not the enemy. They're still fearfully and wonderfully made by God. We are like Jeremiah going to the world and saying, "Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. That if you have the Son, you have life, but if you don't have the Son, you don't have life." Romans 3:23 says, "We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God." Anybody here not a sinner? Liz left, so The Bible says in Romans 6:23 that the wages or the penalty of sin is death. But Romans 5:8 says God demonstrated his love towards us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's the gospel. We're all sinners. The punishment is death, separation from God forever. But Jesus came and paid that price for us. Amen. Then he died. He was buried. And the third day, what did he do? He rose again. And whoever believes in him will never perish. That's the truth. So we go to the world with a message of hope, a message of love, a message of salvation. And Satan, in his wily ways, convinces the world that we're the hateful ones. And it's just not true. We're the ones trying to keep our children from running into the middle of the road. But we understand, 1 John 3:13 says, "Do not marvel, my brethren, if the world hates you." John 15:8 says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me," Jesus says, "before it hated you. If you are of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." We could fill this, we could have three Sunday services and fill this church up every Sunday. All we would have to do is change our message and preach a false message that everybody's going to heaven. Just come have cupcakes. But that's not the message, because we're not of the world. We're of Christ. And Christ has given us, just like he gave Jeremiah, a task to preach the gospel. So don't be surprised. So we've learned two things. One, it's not liberal versus conservative, Democrat versus Republican, nation versus nation. It is a war against the enemies that rule in the darkest areas of this universe, Satan and his minions, and the lies that they're telling. And the second thing we learned is don't be surprised if people don't like what you have to say. So then you have to make a choice. Do I want people to like me, or do I want to save people from running to the middle of the road? But here's what God says about persecution. Matthew 5:11. "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." So Jesus tells his followers, look, they're going to hate you many times. There are going to be people out there who don't want anything to do with this message of Jesus. Don't be surprised, but understand, I see you working. I'm going to bless you. And remember, they've been persecuting the prophets, including Jeremiah, long before you got here. It's never going to change. Why is it never going to change? Because Satan hates the truth. He hates it. What is the truth? John 17:17 says, "Thy word is truth." John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Look what it says in Romans 1:18. "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and righteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them." The world tries to suppress, hold back the truth. It's interesting how the world is accepting some of the most hateful religions in the world. Hateful religions that preach death and jihad to their enemies. And the world somehow has been twisted that that's the religion of love, and Christ is the religion of hate. You don't think Satan's out there working? And you'll notice that many of them are young people. John 3:20 says, "Everyone practicing evil hates the light, does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they've been done in God. So there's two types of people in this verse. Those who just want more Jesus. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. I come to the light. But then there are those who practice evil that hate the light. Why don't they hate the other religions? Because they're not real. They're not the truth. They're not the light. And because of that, they got no problem with it. But you mention Jesus, and you got a problem. Here's the truth about the Bible. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All scripture, the entire Bible, is of the inspiration or God-breathed. So the book becomes our centerpiece. No law but love, no creed but Christ, no book but the Bible. The book becomes the center. So the only way to know if you're being tricked by Satan, the only way you know that that's really a brick wall and not a road, is to know the Word. We've got to study. 1 John 4:1 says, "Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron." And this is what's happening. We have the Word of God, which is inspired by God, God-breathed, and then we have anything other than the Word of God, which is the Bible calls a doctrine of demons. And you say, "Oh, Pastor Flanagan, come on, that's harsh. You can't call it doctrine of demons." And what would my response be? I didn't call it doctrines of demons. God calls it a doctrine of demons. I'm going to read something to you. And I showed this to Stan and Larry yesterday, so they'll back me up that this is a true statement. This is a statement put out by a man named Archbishop Jonathan Blake of the Episcopal Church. And here's what he says, and I wrote it down word for word as he said it. Keep away from the Bible. First words out of his mouth. Are we in danger here? These words are not to be regarded as accurate, for there is a lot wrong with them. Christians love to turn the Bible into a weapon. What he's doing is exactly what he's attacking you with the tongue. Any of you who would trust this book as your only guide, you're the problem. You're using it as a weapon. He says, God has no need to communicate through some ancient book. Put the Bible down, my friends. Listen to those shining with light and overflowing with love from every faith, every nation, and every philosophy. For they speak God's word. If you like that statement, you're being deceived. If that statement offends you, put the Bible down. And he says, listen to every faith. How can every faith be right? So how do we know what the truth is? Thy word is truth. This is a sample of what's coming down the road and being accepted. The fact that this guy said this, that's not the issue. Everybody has their own opinions and weird philosophies. The problem is those who hear it and go, why can't we just all get along and coexist and just be one? Because Jesus says, I'm the what? Way, the truth, and the life. And the Bible is the centerpiece. Look, it's not about a denomination. It's not about Catholic, Protestant. It's not about Baptist and Methodist. It's about Jesus Christ. There is no other foundation that anybody can lay other than Christ. And the gospel is the gospel that's written in this Bible. The only way to heaven is through what Christ says in the Bible is the only way to heaven. And when we start saying, put the Bible down and just let people who are loving and kind, who say, go ahead and play in the freeway, kids, and just live your life, it's okay. That's not love. Satan hates this teaching. The word doctrine here in that verse 3:16, the word doctrine is a word that means the teaching. The teaching of God is the only accurate teaching. And Satan hates it. John 7:16, Jesus answered and said to them, my doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. That's an incredible statement by Jesus. My teachings are not mine, but him who sent me. Well, who sent him? God. If anyone wills to do his will, he'll know concerning the doctrine, whether it's from God or whether I speak on my own authority. Here's a miracle of God. The miracle of God is this. If anyone wants to do his will. So, in 1979, sitting on my car in the parking lot of the pizza place, I just simply said to God, if you're real, I'll do anything. I just want to know if you're real. I had a desire to know if he was real. And then this happened. He shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak among authority. From the moment I became a Christian on that day, I knew this book was real. And it was a miracle of God. And those of you who read this book, you find God here. You see God here. You experience God here. Everything is in this book. Not from me. I could tell you all kinds of funny stories and puns and jokes, and you'd have a great time and leave here thinking it was the greatest church service you ever had, and I'm simply politely walking you into the pits of hell. Or I can tell you the truth, that if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, then you need to change that before it's too late. Because look what it says in verse 18. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. But he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. We have 29 slides of verses today. Do you know why we have 29 slides of verses? Because anything else, I'm just seeking my own glory. Let me tell you what I think about God. Let me tell you what we believe. Let me tell you what our denomination says. Who cares? We have the book. The book says it all. Let's walk through these verses. Matthew 15:8. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. We have these men, they'll come in and they look and all shiny and new with all of their garb and religious garb, and they start teaching their own opinions and tell you they're the doctrines of God when they're really the doctrines of men. Shame on us. We can't change this book. The Bible says in Revelation, cursed is the man who adds to this word or what? Takes away from it. So stay strong. Now here's the encouragement to you. During this battle for the mind, it's a battle for the mind, it's a battle for truth. Here's how you get victory. Acts 5:28. Did we not strictly say to you not to teach in his name? These are to the early apostles in Acts. You filled Jerusalem with your doctrine. Oh, I'd love to fill a grand with our doctrine of God, the doctrine. You intend to bring this man's blood on us. You're telling us we're going to hell. You're bringing his man's blood. You saw, we're the reason that our sins is why he died on the cross? How dare you? Didn't we tell you to quit teaching that stuff? See, it's never changed. They told Jeremiah. They told the apostles. And they're telling us. So what do? Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Acts 16:20, they brought them to the magistrates and said, "These men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. They teach customs that are not lawful for us, being Romans, to receive or observe." This is what's happening in Nicaragua. They have customs, and the custom is we don't mention Jesus in our country. There are laws going into place that will deem the gospel as hate speech. And you will be accused of going against the custom. We're trying to build a country of love. We got to get this religious stuff out of here. They'll use the same argument because it's the same one behind it. Acts 4:18. They called them and commanded them not to speak or teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge." So these Pharisees said, "Quit teaching." And they said, "Okay, Pharisees, do you think we should listen to you or God?" Luke 12:4, "And I say unto you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I'll show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has power to cast into hell. I say to you, fear him." The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But sometimes we're so afraid of those verbal attacks, and especially in this social media pressure period that we live in, that we back off. But let me encourage you to fear the Lord. Listen to God rather than man. And understand that when you are sharing the Bible, when you are reading a verse, you are carrying with yourself power and authority. Only this book has a certain power and authority. Romans 1:16, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jews first and for the Greeks, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, that is written, the just shall live by faith." That word power there is a Greek word dynamo. It means dynamite. When you preach the gospel, when you say, "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God," or you say, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life," it's dynamite. And people have a response to it. There's something, I'm drawn to that word. There's something about what you just said. Hebrews 4:12 says, "The word of God is living and powerful," dynamite, "sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing to the division and soul of the spirit, and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." It cuts right down to the heart of a person. And that person, like we talked about with the Apostle Paul, they like to kick against it. They don't like the feeling of conviction and being drawn by God. Luke 4:31, Jesus goes down to Capernaum, a city in Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath, and they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority. Mark 1:27, they were amazed, and they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. See, when Jesus spoke, there was an authority. Well, remember in the garden when they came to arrest him, and he spoke, and all the men did what? They fell backwards. Because there's power, there's dynamite, and authority in the Word of God. And so, stories are great, but the gospel is power. And so we stick to the... This is why we go verse by verse. It's why we have so many verses and so many slides. Because it's where the power is. And here's the great thing. This authority that God has, given to him by his Father, he has now passed on to you. Matthew 28:18. One of the last things Jesus said to his followers before he went back into heaven. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. So go, therefore, make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you." Look at that underlying part. teaching them to observe everything I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. That's all we're doing here. I'm trying to fulfill this verse. That I am speaking the gospel and teaching you what God has to say in his book. It's just a Bible study. But there's power in it. There's authority in it. And if we're out telling people what our doctrine believes or what our denomination believes or our opinions about God, there's no power in our opinions. There's no authority. I don't have the authority to tell you, well, I think we should just throw the Bible away and trust all other beliefs. Who gave me the authority to say that? I have authority to do this. I have authority to make disciples of all nations, telling them about the gospel. And I have the authority to teach this book. That's as far as my authority goes. But to do this, we have to make sure that we are not susceptible to being deceived by all the little subtle teachings. Remember, the first thing Satan ever said to Eve was what? Did God really say? He's constantly trying to switch the gospel on us. So we need to know it. Galatians 1:6, Paul writes, I marvel that you're turning away so soon to him who called you in the grace of Christ to another gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel than what we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we've said, and so I say again, if anyone preaches any gospel to you other than what you've received, let him be accursed. God says, even if an angel from heaven, I think Satan was an angel from heaven, wasn't he? Doesn't the Bible say he comes as an angel of light? Isn't he a liar, the father of all lies? Isn't he a master deceiver? He will look religious. He's not going to have red horns and a pitchfork. He's going to have a nice suit and a tie. He's going to sit behind a pulpit. He's going to tell you to put your Bible away. But you need to know what this book says so you can know when the lies come down the pike. Ephesians 4:14. We should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried away with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men, the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things to him who is head, Christ. I want you to know this is a message of love. And you may say, well, you're pretty narrow-minded. You're being pretty critical. I don't like it. Well, that's the deception. The truth will set you free. The lies will keep you in bondage. And you're going to end up in hell and say, but I went to church. Lord, didn't we not say, Lord, Lord, didn't we cast out demons in your name, do miracles in your name? And Jesus says what? I never knew you because you followed a gospel. So in conclusion, we need to do three things. You need to study. You need to preach the truth. And we need to pray for those who are being deceived. Titus 1:10 says, there are many insubordinate, idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouth must be stopped. Now, this is a verse in the Bible. And you say, well, why can't you just leave everybody alone? Let's let everybody believe whatever they want to believe. I don't have the authority to do that. I can't stop people from preaching false doctrine, but I can do my best to correct it with verses. Who subvert whole households, teaching things which they ought not for the sake of dishonest gain. I'm going to tell you one thing behind false teaching. There's almost always money behind it. 2 Peter 2:18, when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped, those who live in error. So remember, he comes into households, moms, they want our kids. And you've got to have that Bible ready. Romans 16:17, I urge you, brethren, Note those who cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned, and avoid them. Those are such who do not serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly. By smooth words and flattering speech, they deceive the hearts of the simple. And they sell books, and they put out videos, and they fill their churches, and they could care less if you're playing in the freeway and getting hit by a car. It's a narrow gate that few go on that are telling the truth. 1 Timothy 6:3. If anyone teaches otherwise, do not consent to the wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the doctrine which accords with godliness. He is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with the disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicion, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of truth, who oppose the godliness is a means of gain. From such, withdraw yourself. I was really disappointed last week. There was a fellow who I really liked to listen to and read. And he came on and he said, Sunday schools have ruined our children. And he says, because of the improper teaching of Sunday school, this is why so many kids grow up and leave the church, because Sunday school is getting it all wrong. And I listened intently. I said, boy, I never thought of that. Why? And then at the end, and then as I listened to it, I said to myself, please, please, please do not sell me Sunday school curriculum at the end of this. And he got to the end, and he did what? But we have come up with a Sunday school curriculum. And I went, I can't listen to you anymore. I no longer trust you. Why can't you just tell me? Why can't you just preach the word? Withdraw yourself. 2 John 1:9, whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house, nor greet him. So not only do we need to know the truth, so when it comes knocking at our door, we can avoid it. God says, don't even invite him into your house. But we need to preach the truth. 1 Timothy 4:6, if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith, and of the good doctrine which you've carefully followed. Reject profane and wise fables and exercise yourself towards godliness. 1 Timothy 4:12, let no one despise your youth. Be an example to the believers in word, conduct, love, faith, purity. Till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. We're instructed by God. Pay attention. Holding fast the faithful word he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine exhort and convict those who contradict. Finally, last verse of the day. 2 Timothy 4:2. Preach the word. I didn't put the exclamation point in there. God put it in there. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Our ministry is all the things we talked about. We need to study, preach, and pray. The enemy is not those who say awful things. The enemy is the one behind them planting those awful things in their heart and mind. And we have to contradict it with the truth and pray. That's what Jeremiah does at the end of Jeremiah 18. He prays. He says, give heed to me, Lord, verse 19. Listen to my voice and the voice of those who contend with me. shall evil be repaid for good, for they have dug a pit for my life. God, protect me. God, you see what they're saying. He says in verse 23, provide no atonement for iniquity, nor blot their sin from your sight. Let them be overthrown. And we pray that Satan will be overthrown. Because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Heavenly Father, we just pray for our mothers today. We pray, God, that you would encourage them. We pray, Lord, that you would know that they have partners in this battle for the minds and the directions of their children. That, Lord, some of our children are 30 and 40 years old, and yet they're still drifting from you, Lord. They're listening to too many things through their phones and the internet and getting too much information that they're not grounded enough to be able to contradict. So, Lord, we come to you with a commitment to this Word of God. We will not put our Bibles down. We will not stop preaching. If it means we go to jail, we go to jail. But Lord, while we're free in this nation, what an opportunity we have to continue to share with people what the book really truly says. I pray for these mothers today. It's a battle. I pray for the fathers. It's a battle. But Lord, we come together and gather together as you tell us to do so, to edify and encourage one another to go out and be good soldiers of Christ during this time, in Jesus' name. God bless you. Happy Mother's Day. Don't forget, there is Little Debbie snacks for all the moms in the kitchen. Enjoy. Remember, no evening service tonight. We'll see you next week.